Today's reading is from Colossians 3, verse 1 to 17, page 984 in the Church Bibles. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Ronan, thank you so much for reading that for us, and good afternoon. It's good to be here with you all at the 3 p.m. And if you're new or visiting, let me add my welcome to Pia Agnes. Really great to see you here. So one of Chris and Emma's favorite books is the classic kids book, Where's Spot? I think we have a slide for that. If you don't know it, it's one of the lift the flap kind of board books. And I found out today it's actually the first ever lift the flap board book ever made. Interesting. Well, the story for Where's the Spot? It's a simple story. Spot the puppy is missing. And on each page, you lift a flap to try and find him. And so where's Spot? Is he behind the door? No. Under the stairs? Not there. In the wardrobe? Still no Spot. Until finally, on the very last page, you find him, curled up in a basket. And I mention this because life can often feel that way, can't it? Many people go through life with this deep sense that something is missing, a sense of identity, a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose. And for many of us, even as Christians, life can sometimes feel like we're just turning the pages, lifting the flaps, trying to find those things. And so we look behind career, relationships, sexuality. But like the book, page after page, flap after flap, still no Spot. And so much of what drives us to keep lifting those flaps, looking in those places, is the culture that we live in. Because we live in a culture that makes big claims about who we are, how we discover ourselves, and where to find true fulfillment in life. And that's what we have been exploring over the past few weeks in this series, The Gospel in the Age of Self. These past few weeks, we've looked at some of the big claims of our culture. I am who I say I am. I am who my heart tells me. I'm happy when I'm true to myself. And over the past 3 weeks, we've seen that while those claims sound promising, when we've paused to consider them, I think what we've seen, though, is that they don't actually deliver. They don't actually have real answers to the questions that we have deep inside. But the wonderful news is that the Bible does. And over the past few weeks, I think we've begun to see that already. And today, we come to the heart of it all, if you will. Because if all of those cultural claims about identity and meaning and purpose lead to dead ends, well, I think the question we're left with is, where then do you find your true self? And what would it look like to be true to yourself? Now, to answer that, today we are turning to Colossians chapter 3. And the reason we're looking at this chapter is because in this passage, Paul not only gives us a glorious vision of who we are if we follow Jesus, today Paul also wants to show us what living out this identity looks like. In other words, he wants to show us how to truly be true to ourselves. Which brings us to point one. And here, Paul wants to hold up the mirror to show you who you truly are. And this is who you are. You are united with Christ. Yeah, point one, verse 1-4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so today we are now in the book of Colossians. Colossians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a group of Christians living in a place called Colossae. And the reason Paul writes to them is because Paul's readers, they were in danger. You see, false teachers had emerged, false teachers who came with false promises, promises offering more spiritual depth, more powerful experiences, next level Christianity. And it's because of this, Paul writes this letter to these Christians in order to assure them that whatever these false teachers are trying to sell you, you don't need it. You don't need it because you already have Jesus. Jesus, he's the one who made all things, sustains all things, rules over all things. And because you trust in him, Paul says, you are now united with him. And so keep sticking with Jesus. That is Paul's big argument in the whole letter. And it's when we arrive in chapter 3, again, we see Paul draw on this key idea in the letter, this key idea of our union with Christ. We see this multiple times in verse 1-4. Verse 1, you have been raised with Christ. Verse 3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. And so what does it mean to be united with Christ? Well, simply put, it means this. It means that your destiny is now bound up with Jesus. And so where Jesus goes, you go. Whatever happens to him happens to you. Paul unpacks this earlier in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 12, Paul tells his readers that you were buried with Jesus in baptism. That is, Jesus died, and so spiritually, you died too. 2 verse 12 to 13, you were raised with him, made alive together with him. Jesus was raised from the dead, made alive. And so spiritually, you were made alive too. And so it's therefore no surprise that in chapter 3, verse 4, when Jesus returns in glory, well, you too will appear with him in glory. Two people united. And because of that, their destinies are now intertwined. And so it's a bit like this. It's a bit like Deb and James over here. Deb wearing our son James in a baby carrier. There are two people united by the baby carrier. Which means where Deb goes, James goes. She climbs up the stairs. He climbs with her. If he sits at the table, he sits with her. There are two people, but James's position is completely wrapped up in Deb's. And in a deeper and more glorious way, that is what Paul says it is like to be united with Christ. By faith, we are joined to him. And this now means that our destinies are now intertwined. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. And his future, it is our future too. And that is the remarkable thing that Paul says about the moment you became a Christian. And maybe you didn't realize it at the time, but when you placed your trust in Jesus, Paul says you didn't just take on a new set of beliefs. You didn't just add a Sunday routine to your calendar. No, Paul says when you place your trust in Jesus, something fundamental about who you are changed. You were united with Christ. And in that moment, your past, your present, your future, they were rewritten forever. Once you were God's enemy, now you've been reconciled. Once you were buried in debt, now it's been cancelled, nailed to the cross. Once you were lost, wandering in the dark, but now you have been rescued into Jesus' kingdom. And now you have a hope laid up for you in heaven, a glorious inheritance waiting for you. And so, friends, let that sink in. Because Paul says your past, it is forgiven. Your present, totally secure. And your future, unimaginably glorious. And I hope you see that this is more than just a theological idea. No, this is an identity-shaping reality. In fact, Paul says, this is now your truest identity. Speaking of this new identity in verse 11, Paul says, here there's not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, the most defining thing about you now, it is not your ethnicity or culture. It's not your class or your social standing. It is this. You are in Christ. You are united with Jesus. And yet, for us as Christians, there are times, aren't there, when we can forget this. I remember back when I was in my first year of Bible college, speaking with a lady, a very young Christian back then. She was very honest, opened up about her past, her teenage years in particular. And she shared about how, by the time she was 20, she had undergone multiple abortions. I can still remember the moment in that conversation where she looked at me and said, "Do you think God has really forgiven me after everything that I've done?" I can also think of a Christian brother, someone I've known for years. He loves Jesus. But for a long time now, he's been battling with pornography. And in the times where he's fallen back into it, in those painful moments of regret, several times I recall him wondering out loud, "Ben, do you think there is hope for someone like me?" And I wonder, have you ever felt like that? Asked those questions? Is there forgiveness? Is there hope for someone like me? And brothers and sisters, if that is you, Paul says that if you trust in Jesus, there is forgiveness. There is hope. Because if you trust in Jesus, Paul says you are now united with him, which means his death covers your sin, his righteousness is now your righteousness, and his future, it is your future too. And friends, this is why your Christian identity, your union with Jesus, it is so precious. So precious, isn't it? And more than precious, it is liberating. Because again, it means that your past, it is forgiven. Your present, totally secure. And your future, unimaginably glorious. Incredible news. Now, but if that's true, if that is who we are now, united with Christ, Well, I think the next logical question, I think, is what are some implications of that? Well, verse 1 to 2, Paul tells us, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. In other words, reshape, redirect your life around your new identity. Or put it another way, be true to your new self. Now, what does it look like in practice? Well, that's what Paul wants to show us in the rest of the passage. And in verse 5 to 11, we see being true to yourself, it looks like putting off your old self. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Point 2, and so Paul has just now told us who we are in Jesus, that we are united with Christ, we've been raised with him. And in verse 5, Paul says, therefore. In other words, if that is true, if that is your new identity in Christ, well, that has very practical implications for our everyday life. And one big application is this. Your old self, it needs to go. Your old way of living, the sexual immorality and covetousness in verse 5, the anger and malice in verse 8, the slander and lying in verse 8 and 9. Well, it's time to leave all of that behind. Well, in Paul's words, verse 5, put to death what is earthly in you. Verse 8, put them all away. And in verse 9, put off the old self. Here Paul calls his readers to make a decisive break with their old self, to put their past in the past. Verse 7, yes, these may have been things that you once walked in. This might have been how you lived back under your old identity before you were united with Jesus. But verse 10, that is not who you are now. No, verse 10, you now have a new identity, a new self. And so don't go back. Don't go back. And so can I tell you about my kids one last time, I promise. Right? So my kids, they are grubby little children. And if you left my children to themselves, to their own devices, by the end of the day, they would be mud-covered, sweaty, banana-smeared. But every night, there's bath time. Deb and I clean them up. New clothes, fresh start. Now, imagine, however, if after bath time, we towel the kids off, and the kids, instead of going to the wardrobe, getting into a fresh set of snuggly PJs, getting ready for bed, imagine if instead the kids turn around and they begin digging through the laundry basket, trying to put on their old, soiled, mud-covered, sweaty, banana-smeared clothes. Wouldn't that be silly? And I know it sounds ridiculous, but if you stop to think about it, isn't that what we do sometimes? We have been made clean. Our status is now different. Our identities are completely changed now. But so often, we go rummaging back through the old life, trying to wear the old mud-covered clothes. And so Paul reminds us here that that is not you anymore. That is not you anymore. And so put it away. Put it off. Put those things to death. Now, I get this might not always be easy. Verse 10 reminds us that this new self is still being renewed. And so, yes, we have new identities. Yes, we are being changed right now as we speak. But we are not completely there yet. Now, verse 4 reminds us as well that there's still a future glory that we're waiting for. Now, on top of that, I guess it also doesn't help, doesn't it, that we live in a world that's also quite good at making the old way of life look so appealing. So it's not sexual immorality. It's freedom. It's not greed. It's just ambition. But Paul says, friends, don't be fooled. One, this old way of life, again, that is not you anymore. And two, this old way of life, there is no life to be found there. Only death, only judgment. Verse 6, on account of this old way of life, the wrath of God is coming. And so don't go back. Don't let yourself be drawn back in to the old life. And so, friends, the next time you feel the pull, the next time you feel the temptation to click on that website, to lash out in anger, to join in on the workplace gossip and slander, to envy what others have, to slip back into old patterns that once defined you. Friends, will you pause and remember that that is not who you are anymore? Yes, that might have been how you once walked. Yes, you might have been living that way for a very long time, but not anymore. Because today, Paul reminds us that you are united with Christ. You have a new identity. You've been made clean, changed. And that old life, it has nothing for you, only death. And so don't go rummaging through those old soiled clothes. Don't put back on the things which Christ died to set you free from. No, put it to death, put it away, put it off. And instead, put on your new self instead. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Last point. And so in verse 5 to 11 was the negative application. Well, in verse 12 to 17, here Paul gives us the positive vision. And so here's what it looks like to seek the things that are above, to set your mind on things that are above. Here's what it looks like to live out your identity as someone united with Christ. Verse 12, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Verse 13, bear with one another and forgive, just as the Lord has forgiven you. Verse 14, put on love. 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, teaching, singing, giving thanks. And so do you see what Paul is doing here? Here Paul is describing a whole new wardrobe, a new self, a new way of living, a new community. And just like in verse 5 to 11, where Paul says, put to death, put away, put off, in verse 12 and 14, Paul urges us to put on this new way of living, to live out your Christian identity, to be true to your new self. Now, however, maybe for some of us, when we hear this, maybe that doesn't quite fill you with a whole lot of excitement. Because maybe you, like lots of people in our world, maybe you are under the impression that the Christian life is dull and grey and joyless. But friends, I want you to look back again at verse 12 to 17. And I want you to ask yourself, is that really the life Paul is describing? Because far from being dull and joyless, if we stop to just pause and consider these verses, to ponder over them, I don't know about you, but this sounds like a good life, a life worth living, a life shaped by kindness, compassion, a life where we are not weighed down by bitterness, but are free to forgive, a life filled with rich and loving relationships. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a good life, an attractive life. And I don't think it's just me. I remember a few years back chatting with the dad of a young adult at church. This guy was a Hindu gentleman. His daughter had recently become a Christian, and she had invited him along to come along to one of our Christmas services. I remember we had a really warm and fantastic chat with him, a really friendly guy. But halfway through our chat, unprompted, he said to me, you know, since my daughter became a Christian, I've seen a change in her. She's more patient, more forgiving, kinder. There's something different about her. And that is the new self. Not just visible, but attractive, compelling, even to the non-Christian. And I wonder, wouldn't you want that too? So again, let's be clear. What Paul is calling us to here, it is not a joyless life. It really is a life worth living now. And friends, just compare this for a moment to what our world offers. Constant outrage, chronic dissatisfaction, hookups, breakups, regrets, chasing success, even if it means trampling on the people below you. Friends, on the surface, it looks like freedom. But scratch beneath, and very quickly, you see it is empty and it is exhausting. And so, isn't it great news that Jesus offers us a better way to live, a much better story? And we've seen that already, haven't we, over the past few weeks? Jesus is not trying to rob you of anything. He does not want to ruin your life. No, Jesus has come to rescue you. And he wants to offer you a life that is full and good and noble. And so, friends, as we close, will you hear Paul's call to be true to yourself, to be who you are in Christ? Not just because it's commanded, but because it's good. Because if you trust in Jesus, well, this is who you really are in Christ. Let's pray.
Let's turn to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here together and hear from your word. Thank you for the wonderful truth and privilege that it is to be united with Christ. And thank you that by trusting and believing in his death and resurrection, we too can be confident that we will be raised to eternal life with him. We pray that we would consider more deeply what it means to be in unity with Christ, and that would spur us on to lay down our old selves and the temptation to live as the world or our culture says that we should. And Lord, instead, live lives orientated around glorifying and serving you first. We pray that instead we would put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness of others. We're sorry for the numerous times when we have instead sought after earthly treasures and comforts. Please forgive us for quickly forgetting how much of an honor it is to be in unity with you and instead being tempted to live in a way that serves our world and our human interests. We pray that you would help us to be convicted of this and that our hearts would be changing tangibly as we go away from this service today, and that you would increase our desire to live our lives orientated around serving you, our Creator and Rescuer. We now turn to pray for our midweek groups at Euston. Thank you for the regular opportunity for us to gather and study your word in groups. Thank you for this recent series in the book of Exodus. And thank you for what we've seen of your commitment to rescuing your people. We pray that we would continue to reflect on what we've learned over the coming weeks. We thank you also for the fellowship and friendships grown in these midweek studies. And we pray that you would continue to grow us in understanding of your word and change our hearts and minds to become more like you as we gather in groups weekly. We thank you also for our group leaders and leaders taking the time to prepare for these studies and leading us through the word. And we give thanks for every member of our midweek studies that's making it possible for us to meet and study your word together. Finally, we turn to pray for our world. We lift up the ongoing conflicts in Gaza and Ukraine, as well as in many countries across the world suffering under war and conflict. We pray that you would enable peace to prevail in these parts of the world. We pray for leaders navigating negotiations and conversations, that they would also seek peace ahead of pride or their own gain. We pray especially for Christians living in these countries that they would be encouraged to keep on living for the gospel and sharing the good news of Jesus in spite of the conflicts, and that in your mercy, more people would hear and believe your life-giving gospel in these countries. We pray all of this in your almighty name. Amen.